Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm the host of It Never Gets Old, Meredith Fineman. And, of course, I'm joined by the bestie in the Westie, Sarah Lane, right now.
Hello, Mayor, and greetings from California.
So we are taking a little bit of a break in our homes, social distancing, wearing masks, being safe, stay safe, Black Lives Matter, and all of those things. And we will be back with new content soon. We wanted to replay some of our most popular episodes and some of our best ones that we just love. As always, you can find us online at ingopodcast.com. You can learn more about us. We're on the social medias at INGO Podcast, and we'll see you soon.
Welcome to It Never Gets Old, a firsthand account of all things secondhand and a podcast giving you the ins and outs of the resale planet and world. I'm your host, Meredith Fineman, and I'm joined by my bestie in the Westie, Sarah Lane,
producer
extraordinaire. Hi, Sarah.
Mare, I hear you're a little under the weather.
I'm okay if I'm fully, yeah, so I have that like scratch, the scratch where you're like, oh no, this is gonna be bad. And it didn't go away. And I can't stand being minorly inconvenienced. I'm fine if I'm like knocked flat on my feet or like great. But like in between, I'm just a baby. And I am under a blanket of fancy sweatpants. I have an obsession with secondhand fancy sweatpants, which means like those really pricey comfies from like Free City to Cotton Citizen to, you know, all that stuff that I hunt around, so I'm in my fancy sweats.
You know, I meant to tell you on a recent episode, but I forgot, and now I remember because you mentioned fancy sweatpants. I bought some fancy sweatpants. They were not secondhand, so they were not exactly cheap, but they're camo, and they have holes in them, and they're like cool sweatpants that you would almost wear with heels. I was very
trendy.
Proud of myself. Yeah.
Where were they from?
I forget. I bought them on... I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that. It's some brand that
online.
Like,
yeah,
it's some brand that other people are like, oh, that's a cool brand. And I'm like, I don't know. But the only problem is that with sweatpants, they kind of stretch out. And so these are like, they're cool sweatpants that I feel like are only really something that I feel aren't schlubby when they're freshly washed and kind of shrunk up, because then they kind of stretch out again.
Yeah, the really fancy sweatpants. I just actually was in New York and bought some, I mean, opening ceremony sweatpants at a Crossroads. The really higher end stuff and some of the stuff that retails for like over $100, which obviously I refuse to pay full price for, that stuff stretches less. But yeah, sweatpants are going to sweatpant. And that's one thing that, I mean, I'll go on a diatribe about the difficulty of finding nice fancy sweatpants secondhand because of issues like that. But, you know, amp up your comfies routine. If
sure.
You will.
Yeah. Comfort and style. I also think part of it is they're extra small, but I probably needed an extra, extra small so that they would be a little bit more form fitting. But I liked the pattern. And so I got them anyway.
Well, live your sweatpant truth. I just unboxed a 24-pack of packing tape, not because I'm moving, but because all I do is sell stuff on the internet, and I am the queen of the tape gun.
Well, I salute you, Mayor, because I'm one of those people who's like, can't be bothered. Packing and shipping sounds hard. Can't do it.
Super easy, at least with, like, I mean, I was doing it with some Real and Poshmark. But yes, I have a lot of packing tape, so it looks like I might be trying to, like, kill someone, but I'm actually just trying to make some money on some shoes. Oh, God, I pulled a real out there consignment move this week. I don't know if I told you about it or not. Did I tell you about it?
Well, tell us now. I mean, we're all here.
So this is not to listeners. This is not something that should become practice. However, I was in a resale shop. I won't say which one because I don't need to dox them right now. And also, I don't want them coming after me. But I was selling a few things, and a guy in front of me was selling two Supreme sweatshirts, which, you know, talk about fancy sweatpants, are very trendy, hype beastie. We're going to have a whole episode on what is a hype beast in streetwear and how to think about buying it if you want to or getting into it. But these are sweatpants that, or sweatshirts that resell for hundreds of dollars and retail for way lower than that. And they weren't buying one of them that I was very interested in. It's a Supreme. I've never owned a piece of Supreme like clothing. It's a white sweatshirt with
it just green says and Supreme,
pink.
Right?
It says Supreme down the front. It has pockets, which, like, do all men's sweatshirts have pockets? Like, it's a crew neck, but it doesn't have that, like, hoodie large pocket. It has, like, pockets, which, like, is amazing. Anyway, they weren't buying it because it had a teeny non-existent stain, and I bought it off of him in the middle of the store.
Now, this this seems like a very you move. Is that the sort of thing that the store would find distasteful? Because they weren't going to buy it anyway, so... How does that work?
Yeah, I pulled this move before. So basically, they weren't buying it from him. And I, like, you know, quietly walked up to him and was like, hey, are you open to selling that to me directly? And that could have gone one of two ways. Like, it looked like someone, particularly if they're selling Supreme, they're well versed in, like, the buying and selling of clothing, so they wouldn't be too weirded out. And we did, like, this deal in the middle of the store, and he was, like, 60, and I was, like, nah, and he was, like, 50, and I was, like, nah, how about 40? And he was, like, okay. And I, like, Venmo'd him on the spot, which, like, that sweatshirt sells for probably $300 on the internet. I like it. I can always resell it. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's not in the best of taste. You shouldn't be doing this on the reg. They weren't taking it, so they had already turned it down, but, you know, you can't go after a store's sellers or something.
You don't want to be, like, creeping in the consignment shop, like, trying to, like, be the middleman.
Or take away their business. I mean, it was a very me move, and I got what I wanted, and he, like, once people decide to sell something, they just, like, want it gone, so that's usually the case, so I also played into that. So that was, like, a level 10 to 12 consignment move. It was a little ridiculous, but now I have this awesome fancy sweatshirt, so I'm excited about it. Big news in the fashion world. Since we recorded our Chanel episode, you are now here at It Never Gets Old for the second part of the world of Chanel and Hermes. Karl Lagerfeld passed away at the age of 85. He has been the creative director of Chanel since 1983, and it has sort of rocked a lot of the fashion set. And since we started delving into the history of Chanel, some of which I really didn't know, and it's some of the questionable behavior of Coco Chanel and her involvement with the Nazis in World War II. I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about the brand and what it means and what it means to me, and then also obviously what Karl Lagerfeld means to the fashion community and the, you know, larger just consumer world.
Now, when you say that this has sort of rocked the fashion world, it's because he's such a huge figure in the fashion world. I mean, it wasn't like how Gianni Versace died, right? He was in his 80s. He was an older man. These things happen.
Yeah, I mean, he was an icon. You know, he was such an icon that you would recognize him, even if you didn't know his name, by, like, his profile or photo, which... You know, he would always wear a black blazer, a white button down, his long white hair in a ponytail and sunglasses. And he was really, he really revived Chanel. He made it what it is and has been over the past, you know, three plus decades. He also had the longest tenure of, you know, someone at the head of a fashion house like that. He sort of was Chanel. But we can't talk about Karl Lagerfeld and his impact. And he did design some incredible, beautiful things and brought back a lot of interesting parts of Chanel, particularly in bags and ready to wear. But he was kind of an asshole.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yes, in my mind, you say Karl Lagerfeld, it's like I know exactly who we're talking about because he's been around for so long. I also know that, yes, he was a controversial figure. He didn't necessarily have nice things to say about women with eating disorders. And there was an NPR episode about his death that I was listening to yesterday where they touched on some of this too. Like, you know, he was not necessarily, you know, a sweet person. He just was good at what he did.
Yeah, it's interesting to like see a lot of the fashion world mourning him and not acknowledging a lot of his fatphobic comments, a lot of his very twisted perceptions of body image. You know, as you're saying, Sarah, like when he was asked about issues with eating disorders in fashion, he basically said, don't focus on that. We should focus on overweight women and what a problem they are. Just incredibly fatphobic things. And it makes me think a lot about who high fashion is for, what we tell people about high fashion, you know, what high fashion has to say about body type, what it has to say about gender. And I think that, you know, he was a mercurial dick. And so to not acknowledge that too, I actually think that he, I would hope, is a representative of an older view of fashion, that nobody larger than a size 12 should exist, or that you should look a certain way and be a certain way. I think that we've really evolved past this very narrow view of who fashion is for.
Sure. And I think that this is, he's sort of a figurehead of an issue that anybody who sees enough glossy magazines knows that there's a whole thing going on with what a runway model is. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I mean, I'm a tiny person, so it's like I loved that stuff, but I knew for sure that that would never be my life. And I don't think I went down too much of a rabbit hole about it, but I know a lot of women do, and men too. And that is and continues to be something that it's kind of the way things have been done for a long time. But I do see the landscape changing with plus size models and the fact that plus size models now are seen in some circles as, you know, they got the better body.
Yeah. And listen, like there are a couple people that will be on It Never Gets Old talking about these issues. And I think it's really important to discuss because there's just an unbelievable amount of money to be made from making clothes for every body, no matter, you know, what that very narrow perception of size might be. So while we mourn Karl Lagerfeld and a lot of the visions he had, it's really important. I think it's going to be kind of a changing of the guard. And I'm very curious to see how Chanel looks from here. Let's move on to the most expensive brand in the world, arguably, Hermès. Sarah, do you have any memories of Hermès? Like, what does Hermès mean to you?
Oh, Hermès means to me a beautiful fancy scarf and a Birkin bag. And that's mm-hmm. all I know about Hermes. I have a friend who got an Hermes scarf as a gift from her husband one year. It was a birthday gift or something. And she was so excited. I mean, this was a very cool gift. So I know enough about them to know that it was something that he probably spent some money on.
Yeah, Hermes is extremely expensive. And I delving into this history, a lot of things I didn't know. So let's talk a little bit about that and then get into some very, very primitive buying and selling of Hermes, which is an entire podcast. Hermes is an entire world and it's older than Chanel. It's also a French fashion house, but
and not pronounced Hermes.
Well, yes. Yeah, so I do that to troll people. I'm like, Hermes. Well, so I knew so little about Hermes just because it's incredibly expensive. It tends to be more of a traditional style that I don't desire as much. And I also know that it's an incredibly complex world. The sheer number of fakes and buying and selling and the process of Hermes and what it means as a status symbol is just something that's not only not attainable for me, but also not something I particularly wanted to attain, though incrementally, every year, my tastes get more expensive. So I keep seeing vintage Kelly bags in Paris. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, Meredith. No. Because we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars. So let's talk about how this even began. But yes, I did not realize that Hermès is from Terry Hermès. It's someone's last name. I actually thought it was derivative of Hermes, the Greek god of trade and commerce, because that made so much sense to me. And travelers, like, that made sense. So Hermes is the Greek god of merchants and commerce and sports and travelers. And it's so, I mean, I guess now that I think about it, maybe that last name, that French last name, is intertwined. But that, I literally thought that's what it was.
All right, so it's a French brand. It goes way back before Chanel even. So how did it all start?
Yeah, so we're talking 1800s. And Hermès, you know, if you know anything about Hermès, their main symbols and imagery is horse related. The horse girl energy just jumped out. But it started as stuff for equestrians. And saddles. So actually, they began making saddles and accessories for riding, which is also an industry and sport, of course, synonymous with a lot of money. Horses right. are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But they did make a bag in 1900 that was designed. It wasn't a handbag. It was designed to, like, put your saddle in, which, like, I mean, I don't think any. Maybe people are doing that now. Like, really, really fancy people still have this
saddle
bag.
Put
their literal saddle bag. But, like, they did start making handbags. So Terry Hermès started making all this horse stuff. Then his son, in the 20s, started to make apparel for riding. And then it sort of went way more in a fashion direction as people wanted to wear this stuff, not only on horses. And the Kelly bag was created in 1935. Now, it wasn't called that. The Kelly bag is named after actress and Princess Grace Kelly. But they were doing these in the 30s because these people that were riding and I guess had a lot of money were like, this is a really nice bag to put my saddle in. Like, can I have a really nice thing to put my, like, iPhone in? Just kidding. Like, my telegram. Do they have telegrams? I don't know. To put my, like.
Things that people had in 1935.
I don't know. My face powder. Like, my.
Maybe a hat.
Maybe a hat. But, like, they had hat box. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right.
The point is they were doing this for a long time. And clothing accessories were in the 20s. Oh, yes. So it's true. So Terry's son, his wife complained that she couldn't find a handbag she liked, which was extremely convenient for her. Because, like, if you're in a situation where your husband makes things out of leather, it's like, make me a purse. Like, I can't think of a better perk for a husband, actually.
I mean, plastic surgeon is up there, but yes, the handbag hubby it would come in handy.
So what's interesting is, so they had this, the Kelly bag was the first one they made. All of the images you will find along with blog posts for each episode. So what we're talking about is very visual, but the Kelly bag and the Birkin bag are the two iconic Hermès bags, and they look different. The Kelly sort of is more of a box, I would say, than the Birkin bag. Opens up into sort of a larger tote. And the Birkin bag was named after actress Jane Birkin, who's like a total longtime style icon. So Terry's son then primed his three sons-in-law to take over the business. And their last name is Dumas. And actually, the Dumas family is still in charge of Hermès today, which is crazy. Then I guess they designed the Birkin, which is quote-unquote practical for everyday use. I don't know. I have a friend that just bought a Birkin. I mean, so let's actually talk about, like, practical for everyday use. A Birkin bag, new, from the store. I'll talk a little bit about the process of what it looks like to actually get one, is $8,900. That's what they start at.
Woo. Okay.
And that's if you're allowed to buy it retail, which I'll talk about it in a second. But, you know, these get into the tens of thousands of dollars. And when I was in Paris, I remember a couple times ago, like, I don't know a lot about Hermès. It's not my jam. It's also, like, luckily not, because, you know, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars. And I might have mentioned this in a previous episode, but one of consignment store owners who I loved, and she's still there with a little store, in the sixth, arrondissement. She had this blue Hermes bag, and I was like, oh, that's so pretty. Like, just out of curiosity, like, how much is it? She's like, well, it's a special one, so it's like 30,000 euro.
And what makes it special? The color?
Well, so I guess it was like a unique, so people go crazy for collecting Hermes. And I mean, this is a whole different planet. Like, we're, like, people of a certain set and money set and status symbol set, which I want to talk about a little bit, go crazy for a certain... I mean, people collect Birkins. They hold value. In China, when the economy is unstable or fluctuates, like, people buy them instead of gold. Like, it's really... They hold tremendous value. One of the reasons why I wanted to get into Chanel and Hermes is really, like, sort of in its own league, and I'm going to be talking to someone about that. Like, it retains... It appreciates value every year. Like, they're actually... I can't believe I'm going to say this. A tremendously good, at least right now, investment. Now, I am not a woman to be advising you on your money and what you... But people buy them as a way to keep their money.
Right. It's like flipping a house. Like,
yeah,
you can get one and then sell it for more because... Now, okay, so this is a style. It's a bag that's been around for a long time. Jane Birkin, yes, yeah, big in the 1960s, early 70s, I think it was kind of her heyday. Beautiful woman, the whole thing. Got it. How many limited edition Birkin bags are we getting? Like, why is the value so high? Do they only make 100 per year?
So Jane Birkin co-designed this bag with Hermes, and then she got tendonitis because the bag from the bags, which is like basically golf elbow, which has happened to me. So like I've had golf and tennis elbow. So golf elbow, like, oh God, white lady injuries. So golf elbow is when the inside of your elbow hurts, and tennis elbow is from when the outside of your elbow hurts. Okay. And I went to an orthopedist a couple years ago about my golf elbow, which is like the inside. I'm the only person under the age of like 75 to get golf elbow. And he said he's seen a tremendous uptick because of the way that women carry purses.
So is this something where it's like you're putting just too many heavy things and it throws off your balance because one shoulder is getting weighed down? I mean, or is there more to it?
Well, so if you're carrying, it's really bad to carry your purse, like PSA, health PSA from It Never Gets Old. It's really bad to carry your handbag in the crook of your elbow because you're putting the work, mm-hmm. you're straining those muscles. So like, please don't do that. If you have a Birkin bag, don't wear it in the crook of your arm. I know it's like a cute look and like all that stuff, but you might get tendonitis as Jane Birkin did. And then what's crazy, I was reading about too, is like she actually wanted her name removed from the bag. She became very active with PETA, animal rights organization, anti-fur, anti-leather, ethical treatment of animals. Mm-hmm. And so they had to, they wouldn't, like she went, I think with legally trying to remove her name. Because one reason why Birkin bags were so coveted is that they were made from crocodile. So those are the most expensive. Like, croc Hermes bags can go for, like, $50,000, $100,000, $150,000.
Wow.
Like, it's insane. So apparently they've stopped doing that. But that's, I mean, it's incredibly expensive. I remember once, maybe it was my, like... My mom had a handbag that was from like a great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, and it wasn't like Hermes or anything, but it was crocodile, and it had like a little crocodile on it, like his head. It was very upsetting.
Oh, what? I mean, was it shaped? Was it shaped like a crocodile? I can't
imagine. No, like I guess they left his head on. I don't know. I was very young. I don't totally remember this, but it's haunting me to this day. So yeah, but to wrap up the history of Hermes, they actually had a pretty solid decline in the 1970s. And when they expanded to fragrances and homeware, so like lots of dishes and china, that's what really saved the company. And what really, really bumped up the company is they became big in China. Hmm. I mean, they opened a store in Beijing in 1996, which is a really long time ago. And they saw the power of the Chinese market to purchase their goods. And that continues today. I mean, so... Let's talk about what Hermes looks like now. So one of the reasons why they're so expensive, in addition to being rare, limited edition, difficult to get one, which I'll talk about a friend's means to get one. Like, you and I, you can't just walk into a store and buy one. Doesn't work like that.
You know, and I know this because there was a time that I was with an ex-boyfriend. We were in Las Vegas.
Whoa.
I don't know. Context of that doesn't even matter. But there was an Hermes store, and I had said something like, oh, Birkin bag. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, they're like the most expensive bag. So we walked into the store, and I was like, do you have any Birkin bags? And the person...
they laughed at you?
They laughed at me, and they were like, the wait list is like 5 years long, and also like, you're not good enough for our wait list. And so... and he was like, oh my gosh, you weren't kidding. And I'm like, I know. It's this weird bag thing.
Well, so part of the Hermes bags, one reason why they're so expensive, is they're entirely handmade. And what they say is that each bag is made from beginning to end by only one person, which is incredibly unique. I mean, I'm not here hovering over their, you know, artisans, but that's – but so we have this, like, incredibly time-intensive, work-intensive thing, and then they're rare, and then you have to get on – a waiting list. So I remember going into the Hermes store in Paris a year or two ago, and they basically like did a like full body cavity search. Like, it was, they checked everything.
Because they want to make sure people don't steal things?
Yeah, they want to make sure people don't steal things. They maybe want to make sure I was unarmed so I wouldn't rob the store. I mean, if you think about the pure value of everything that's in there, I mean, they probably have what, $1 million worth of merchandise in there?
Right, right.
And same thing on the way out, like, got nude in the middle of the, just kidding, the Hermes did not assault me. Disclaimer.
It's just like, but a TSA experience.
It was a TSA experience.
Yeah, and triple checking.
But so you can't, so basically you have to get on a wait list for a Birkin, and I had a friend that was able, I don't know how she was able to bypass it, like, but there are all these, like, so this is the thing. A Birkin bag is a tremendous status symbol. It is probably the ultimate status symbol. I remember reading Primates of Park Avenue, which is sort of a sociological lens book about a woman and her family moving to the Upper East Side, which is very rich, very white, very thin, very label-centric area of New York City. And she talked about how all of a sudden she like had to have a Birkin bag and getting that process of getting it. And, you know, Birkin bags don't stay in resale shops or consignment stores for very long. They sell for more than $8,900. Like, you can't get one for that low. It's crazy. Like, actually the retail price and buying one in the store is probably the least you could pay for it, which is nuts. So they are just this very intense status symbol, and it hasn't shifted.
It just seems to me that it defies logic, right? Because if the older bags retain value, but newer bags are being made regularly, sure, maybe there's like superior craftsmanship where it's that one woman who made the whole bag from beginning to end, but with more inventory in the world, you would think that the price would naturally come down. So it's a bit of an anomaly.
It is. It's a total anomaly, and that's why we're spending this amount of time talking about it. But I'm just incredibly curious. So now we know a little bit more about Hermes, it's Hermes, and why it retains the value it does. I can't believe that. It's just so crazy to me, and it's funny. Like, for a second there, I told myself that, like, if I got a book deal or with this last book I collaborated on, like, I would get myself a, like, Birkin bag. Like, girl, like, budget it. I mean, I'm horrified to even think about this, but... I can't afford that shit.
Yeah, it seems like even the best consigner, and I would put you up there.
It's me.
You're still going to have to drop many thousands of dollars. And if you want to and can, okay. But most of us are just like, this is just a Cinderella story we hear about.
Yeah, I don't know if I could. I mean, like, you know, if I am in a position to buy something like that. I don't know. I have a friend that actually just got a Birkin bag from The Real Real. They don't stay on there for very long. But, you know, so one issue with Hermes bags and Birkin bags, and I mean, they're faked. If you have something that is the ultimate status symbol, people are going to make copies of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, copies abound from $200 to $2,000. I mean, I've seen very, very, very high-end Hermes fakes that are still like $2,000, which is nuts. And like, if you get into really, you know, people have whole businesses around buying and selling Hermes, understanding what's real and not. When I was in the store in Paris, they had this like tiny, I think it was a tiny Birkin. It was like the mini, and it was crocodile, and it was like 25,000 euro, and it's so gorgeous. But this woman came in to look at it because I guess she had been turned away at the actual Hermes store. And like, basically, if you look at the inside flap, it'll tell you what year. Like, there are a million different points that a bag like that has to pass. And what's crazy is Hermes does not allow returns, period.
Really?
Period. Even if you have a receipt, they're like, nah, sorry. Which is wild.
Wow. That's just the way it is. If you buy something, you can never return it.
I think if you buy a handbag, I mean, if you buy like a perfume, I think you can probably return it for credit or something, or a bangle. But like if you buy a Chanel handbag, I mean, sorry, an Hermes handbag. Yeah, you can't return it. Sorry,
well,
Bibi.
I suppose that at that level of pricing, all sales are final, and that's, you know, you've been on a waiting list for 5 years already. So,
but no, my friend that just bought one from The RealReal, like, she was like, I feel like a new parent. And I was like, I don't want that. Like, I like putting my purses on the ground and like throwing them around. Sometimes I treat my stuff. Like, I like buying pretty beat up consignment handbags because then I don't feel bad about beating it up.
Right.
But, you know, maybe you're in a place for an Hermes. Maybe you're in a place for a New Yorker tote bag. Both are great status symbols in very different ways. That's a little bit about Hermes. And I feel like I've learned a lot.
Well, I certainly have. I didn't know as much about the family and the fact that it actually went to the in-laws, which is a little bit unusual, right? Usually in-laws are more famous for fighting with you than taking over an extremely expensive and respected fashion business.
Well, they might totally hate each other, but you know, yeah, but you don't true. Fuck with the money. So you never know. Find It Never Gets Old online at ingopodcast.com. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at that same handle, ingopodcast. On our website, you can learn more about me, your host Meredith Feynman, and my producer Sarah Lane. You can also leave us a question, as It Never Gets Old is nothing without our listeners. You can also call us and leave a short and sweet voicemail. We'd love to hear from you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.